This is Pure Decking, show number 538 for, I don't know, what the hell is today? October the 12th, whatever year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and good God, with everything else going on, I've forgotten to work on the BBS again. Oh, heaven help me. Tonight.
It gets in the way of hobbies all the time.
Yeah,
way
really.
The world.
Tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Oh, nothing much. I'm enjoying my long weekend that started 4 hours ago. It's been great.
Or you said he had to go contend to, you know, make his shot at being the next king of Australia. I understand that involves boxing a kangaroo and, you know, trying to grow a mustache. So we'll see what happens. I forget if Australia uses a king or not these days.
Currently, since the old lady died, and he'll make a better king than their current one.
So,
although, if you can't corner a kangaroo, can you substitute an equivalent weight in wallabies?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. You know, he said his plan was to grab drop bears, light them on fire, and throw them at the opponents. So, apparently, those things are flammable.
Yeah, they eat nothing but eucalyptus. I'm pretty sure they'll burn for days.
So, anyways. Okay. I have such a mess tonight. Where is the... Not that. I've lost the stories tabs. Nope, that's not that. This one. Okay, found it. So, yeah. I'm going to be drinking, like, a lot tonight. Finishing off my last Dragon's Milk Bourbon Barrel Stout, which is quite good, and it's unfortunate my last one. And this stuff's hard to get around here, so I'm going to have to probably make another trip up across state lines to acquire the alcohol. What are you drinking, madman?
I am drinking a Kentucky ale. It's pretty much the stuff they turn into bourbon barrel ale, but before it's turned into bourbon barrel ale.
Why are you getting it early?
It was $2 cheaper, and you got two more of them.
Okay, fair enough. So, anyways, I guess we'll get into it here. Hopefully the server holds out for the stream. Anybody listening live, I don't... My provider apparently moved the server yesterday, and apparently the motherboard had issues, so hope for the best. Keep an eye on it for the next few days. I may end up having to open a ticket with them or something, so we'll see what happens. I don't know. Actually, something I was meaning to talk with the group about and been running around too much to do it is I don't know that there's any... I was going to ask if anyone ever still fires up the live stream and listens to it for just music, or if we only use it during shows. Because if we only use it during the shows, we don't, you know, if we don't have it playing music all the time, I might switch it over to hosting it on something like what we use for TeamSpeak. And, you know, it'd be a little more expensive and a little bit more maintenance, but if we're only running it while we're doing shows, I think it'd be okay to do that versus what I'm doing now, because this isn't the first time I've had problems with this hosting provider. So, and I'm pretty sure they're just reselling Linode servers anyways. So, you know, I could spin something up in DigitalOcean to run an Icecast box and, you'll probably do something in Docker just to keep it, just so it's always up to date whenever I fire it up, kind of thing. So I don't know. It's just an idea I was playing with. I haven't, you know, no permanent decisions or anything. Just playing with ideas. But I don't know. If people actually listen to the stream every once in a while, and I wouldn't want to kill it. I've been too busy to go music hunting for it lately, so I know I haven't put any new music in it for a while. But of course, I keep it up, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Medman?
I know RU uses it, and I think Lore. I pretty much only log in when we're doing a show.
Yeah.
There's only a few artists on it that I care for. And it's in a genre I mostly don't listen to.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is hunting down new stuff for the stream gets interesting. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what, explore some ideas there about what we want to do with that. But anyways, I guess we'll get into the story here. It's from Ars Technica. And it's not... And this is funny, but I'm going to pair it with something. So, users mistake video game clips for real Israeli war footage on social media. Footage from 2013 game Arma 3 is spreading virally across multiple social media sites, presented as real spectator video of ongoing military action between Israelis and Palestinians. The misleading videos are part of a wave of war disinformation that has run rampant across social media and highlights just how realistic the heavily modded game can appear at a glance. Examples of the trend are not hard to come by. A 22-second clip on X garnered over 10.4 million views as footage of, quote, Israeli helicopters getting smashed, unquote. But the clip was originally posted as a YouTube short on October 3rd, where it was correctly labeled as Arma footage. That didn't stop the same clip from spreading widely among Indian and Turkish Facebook users. Another X video with millions of views shows Arma 3 footage with a shoulder-mounted rocket launcher and a helicopter, labeled as, quote, Hamas fighters shooting down Israeli war helicopter in Gaza, unquote. X user Shartizdeya has debunked that footage, as well as other examples of game footage that have been taken down as of press time. So it's also interesting that the game footage is only going one way, saying, oh, look, this is the Palestinians beating the Israelis, and then they've got video game footage to prove it. So I don't know that we really want to dig into the politics of this too much, other than what was it Static was saying the other day? The region's cursed and will always be at war.
Oh, I'd like to think there's peace as possible, but as far as the underlying video game footage, this is a problem that's only going to get worse as deep fakes get better.
Oh, yeah. So,
and with the age of, I'm not going to go with the age, with the longevity of many of the aircraft, I'm surprised movie footage isn't being spread just as much.
What they did that one time. It wasn't movie footage. What am I thinking of? It was footage of a gun range where they light off all those tracer rounds, and they said it was footage from Ukraine, I think.
Yeah, I love that gun range. Not that far from me.
if you can't tell on these things, and you think about it, right? If you take a video game footage, now it sounds like they're cutting it off other videos on YouTube, so you can probably find the original video. But if you think about it, if you record some video game footage and then pull it into a video game editor and put some camera shake filter on it and bump the resolution down a little bit, basically make it look like it was filmed on a, 5-year-old Android phone kind of thing. Are you sent me something here? He's listening. There's video of the war in Aleppo, Syria from 2014 going around. And then, so they're just taking old videos and putting it out there. But I was just thinking, if you take video game footage and put it through enough filters to make it look like it was filmed on like a very old cell phone, I bet it would be a lot more convincing than you or I, you know, think. You know, we see this video, and of course, it's telling us it's video game footage, so you can like look at the trees and stuff and go, oh, yeah, that's clearly a video game. But we're primed for it. You know, if you're just scrolling a feed, or, you know, and the video quality's not that good.
And you don't have it pulled up to full screen. It's just whatever section as you're scrolling past it.
Or you're watching on a phone, you know, where it's all shrunk down. Then there's the TikTok post that features Arma footage with the immediate caption, breaking a large Israeli... Oh, I think I already read this. Oh, no, I didn't. Breaking a large Israeli offensive is underway in retaliation for Hamas attacks, unquote. Unfurling the full description reveals that the video was filmed with Digital Combat Simulator, a disclaimer that did not prevent it from being temporarily reshared by far-right Britain First leader Paul Golding on X. So I guess people have abandoned the whole X/Twitter thing. Now they're just trying to call it X. Is that where we are?
It depends on who you're listening to. Mm. I know a lot of people that still call it Twitter, and they're like, I'm never going to call it X. It's Twitter.
Well, I just think it's confusing to call it X, because everybody still knows it as Twitter. These are just a few of the dozens of examples of misleading or misrepresented Arma 3 footage that can be found across social media in recent days. Man, it feels like we ought to be playing Arma 3 if it's good enough to fool people into thinking it's news clips. One hell of a viral marketing campaign. I'm sorry. Well, many of
they didn't even know they're part of it.
Yeah. Many of the clips in question have either been taken down or amended with fact checks, clarifying that they're simulated sourcing. Comments and replies suggest that many users are either confused about that sourcing or assume the footage is real at a glance.
So, I hate that. No, you should not label it simulated sourcing. You label it fake.
Just label it what it is, video game footage.
Yeah, it's not simulated sourcing. That's giving it a veneer of legitimacy.
It might even be Israelis on one one side of the server and Palestinians on the other, and they're playing the game. It's video game footage. So, although, that'd be kind of fun if you could convince people to... they did that. I was going to say, convince people to do an actual war in a video game so you don't have to blow up real buildings. But I think they did a Star Trek episode like that, and they had people walking into incinerators when their side lost, so maybe not.
They did, but you don't have to go that far. Or you can just fake the incinerator numbers.
Yeah, there you go. Since its initial release in 2013, Arma 3 footage has popped up multiple times as real on-the-ground war reporting. A Russian state news program famously mistook footage from the game as a clip from the conflict in Syria, for instance. And after an Arma 3 clip spread across the internet in 2020 as a supposed U.S. takedown of Iranian missiles, that exact same clip gained traction again in 2022 as the latest footage from the conflict in Ukraine. Quote, our efforts to make authentic simulation gameplay appear to be pretty successful, but this is definitely not a method we want to use to promote our games, unquote, said developer Bohemian Interactive told Kotaku in the 2018 Russian news clip. Yeah, it's like, yeah, thanks for advertising for us, but would you stop? quote, while it's flattering that Arma 3 simulates modern war conflict in such a realistic way, we are certainly not pleased that it can be mistaken for real-life combat footage and used as war propaganda, unquote. Bohemia Interactive PR manager Pavel Kritskaya, probably butchered that name, wrote in a blog post originally published last November and updated on Tuesday, quote, we've been trying to fight against such content by flagging these videos to platform providers, but it's very ineffective. With every video taken down, 10 more uploaded each day, unquote. In that same blog post, Bohemia Interactive offered tips for how social media users can, quote, distinguish such in-game videos from real-world footage, unquote. These include the use of low resolutions, which obscure some of the blocky polygons in the game, unnatural particle effects, and sound effects that are often distinguishable from reality. Most of these fake videos also lack human fighters because, quote, while Arma 3 can simulate the movement of military vehicles relatively realistically, capturing natural-looking humans in motions is still very difficult even for the most modern of games, Bohemia writes. Despite those caveats, it's striking how easy it is for consumer-grade hardware and gaming software to create footage that can pass for real war video at a glance. Given this, that simplicity, Bohemia has been reduced to practically begging its players to use their game footage responsibly. When sharing such materials, please refrain from using clickbait video titles and always clearly state that the video originated from a video game and is not just... It's like, guys, please... Yeah, they're probably worried about governments coming after them.
He just missed a great opportunity. Like, here's the surest way to ensure that you're not being fooled by our video game. Buy it, and then play it. After you've beaten it or gotten your ass handed to you so many times, you'll be able to recognize our video game from real footage.
Well, they need to go in and add something to it to really make it obvious that it's a video game. Railguns, you know, I think would be good. You know, like the Quake 3 style railguns, ones with the lines, the tracer line. What else could you
have? The way around that is just not have that equipped whenever you're shooting.
Mm. Well, let people pull in their VR chat avatars. That way you've got, you know, giant weird things running around the map as opposed to soldiers. That might be another way to... Well, no.
All the dicks running around. I wouldn't want to play the game anymore.
Or, you know, just... oh, no, I've got it. Replace all the sky textures with sky textures that have the photo stock watermark. You know? So that they've got, you know, a watermark across the skybox. It's like, this is Arma 3, not a war video. After ruin video games so people don't use it as a... But I've got another video. I've got another article here that goes with the video game article, right?
With this.
Huh?
It is terrible that we have so little trust in actual media sources that we're going to, like, Facebook and X trying to find out what's going on. And are open to being manipulated this way.
Well, if the regular media sources hadn't, you know,
on their credibility,
yeah. But I've got this BBC article here that goes with the previous one. The EU has warned TikTok about it disinformation spreading on the platform after a Hamas attack on Israel. It urged CEO Sho Zichu in a letter to, quote, urgently step up, unquote, efforts and spell out, quote, within the next 24 hours, unquote, how it is complying with European law. Social media firms have seen a surge in misinformation about the conflict, including doctored images and mislabeled videos. The EU previously warned X, formerly Twitter, and Meta about such content. It said TikTok needs to be mindful of its popularity with young people. Quote, TikTok has a particular obligation to protect children and teenagers from violent content and terrorist propaganda, as well as death challenges and potentially life-threatening content, unquote, said EU. Death challenges. So there's your brining, said EU Commissioner Thierry Breton in a post on X. The BBC has approached TikTok for comment. X was given a similar 24-hour deadline on Tuesday. The firm's chief executive, Linda Yacarno, responded by telling the bloc that it had removed or flagged tens of thousands of pieces of content since Hamas attacked Israel. She also said it has removed hundreds of accounts. Facebook and Instagram owner Meta has also been handed a similar warning about disinformation and a 24-hour deadline by the EU. The EU declined to comment on whether it had received a response from Meta, but a European Commission spokesperson said, quote, contacts are ongoing, unquote, with the company's compliance teams. A Meta spokesperson told the BBC, quote, after the terrorist attacks by Hamas on Israel on Saturday, we quickly established a special operations center staffed with experts, including fluent Hebrew and Arabic speakers, to closely monitor and respond to this rapidly evolving situation, unquote. So the article goes on. Basically, you know, there's some laws in the EU, and they're very much trying to enforce them by sending sternly worded letters and threatening fines. But I guess the point of this, and the reason I have both these articles, is you've got, with the EU specifically, but you've got organizations trying to keep get these social media companies to filter what's on these platforms about the conflict. And you've got people creating noise, for lack of a better word, about it. You know, whether they're making shit up or taking video game footage and saying it's from the fight, or, you know, just saying horrible things about the other side. I mean, granted, it's happening everywhere. You know, they've had those, they've had, you know, demonstrations for both sides of the conflict. You see all the, there was some big thing up in New York about it. Harvard, a bunch of student groups were like condemning Israel for responding to having 1,000 people killed. So I don't understand all of it. I mean, I'm just going to put it that way. I think, you know, of course it's awful, but I mean, I think this is not just the norm. I think you're going to start seeing such massive disinformation campaigns about any conflict, right? I mean, of course, we saw some of this with Ukraine, too. But as more and more people have, you know, the camera on my cell phone is better than any DSLR I own, right? And I have a couple of nice ones. They take good pictures, but my phone takes better fucking pictures than, you know, my nice cameras. It's kind of messed up. But as that more and more stuff like that happens, you're going to start seeing governments trying to crack down on what's on the social the major social media platforms anyways, especially with regard to conflicts. Yeah, are you putting the IRC there? It's the fog of war, trust nothing, which absolutely that's correct. But I think this is just the start of it. I think we're going to see much more extreme. And it will be, you know, stuff like this that gives governments the excuse to try to go in and control what's on these networks.
And the control, that just means you're getting the propaganda just from the government. Because don't think everyone is going to be doing this. Like, this is how the CIA is going to start doing disinformation if they haven't already.
I'm sure they're all starting.
MI6, all of them are going to be doing it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them are doing it, kind of, right? I think they're starting at it, and I wouldn't say amateur, but not to where I think it's going to go. So I think it's going to get to the point where you will have. What would you call them? Dirty tricks teams, operators, whatever you want to call them, net runners, who would command just, you know, huge amounts of accounts, whether it's through bots being fed with like AI generative stuff, or just, you know, the bank of cell phones. You know, you see the pictures from ClickFarms where it's banks of cell phones and one person in front of it clicking the buttons and solving CAPTCHAs and stuff like that. Where I think you're going to see hardcore attempts to control what people are allowed to say on these platforms, you know, for or against any conflict, right? You know, irrespective of the current one going on, which is why I bring it up. It's not, I don't really want to get into the politics of Israel versus Palestine. Pretty sure that's been going on my entire life. But, you know, the way it's going to spill out into, well, the internet, right? And it's not that people are talking about it or even posting videos of a video game and saying, oh, look, this is the you know, video from the conflict. I think you're going to see governments and companies use that kind of crap as an excuse to really clamp down on what's allowed online, at least on the major platforms, maybe not just in the internet in general, but because there'll always be, you know, more underground sites, and I've got an article about that later. There'll always be stuff around censorship, but at least on the major platforms, you know, your YouTube, your Facebook, your Twitter/X, I think you're going to see governments getting really heavy-handed on what's allowed to be said on these platforms. way more so than what we see today. You know, people complain about, you know, not being able to tell what the rules are on, like, YouTube, you know, because it's like, oh, well, everything's a violation of the code of conduct, but it's a, you know, it's not applied equally, so heaven knows what's actually allowed and what's not. I think you're going to see it get a lot more aggressive with stuff like that. And it's, I think it's going to be either companies themselves trying to avoid problems or being told to do it by, well, like, you know, this whole article is about the EU getting a hold of the major companies and being like, look, you can't let this stuff out. We're going to hold you responsible if you don't filter it. So.
And I'm also pretty sure they're on there saying, this is something you can let out.
Well, I mean, you know, we saw a little bit of it with the whole, with the last election, with the Biden laptop, right? So, I think it's going to be a variation of the dead internet theory in that, you know, at least on the major platforms, the only views you're allowed to see are the approved ones, whether it's by your corporate overlords or your government overlords is all that remains to be determined.
Well, and this isn't something new. Air America.
No, I know.
Just Pinocchio won.
I know, but, I mean, the internet kind of had that veneer of being a lot more open for, I don't know, 20 years? Most of my life.
And I could see it still being somewhat the most open, but when it comes to disinformation, openness doesn't matter so long as you can still get the disinformation out, because it isn't that you can trust Bob when Bob's reposting certain things. Has he been fooled? Or
has Bob's account been taken over?
Has it been taken over? And when it comes to disinformation, unless you're on the ground?
Yeah, good luck.
No. And how many people are on the ground? How many people are saying they're on the ground? Because I can say I'm in Tel Aviv. If I'm not.
The Mari, do we need the Mari meme? Your IP address determined this to be a lie. But
damn my VPN provider. I said I'm in Tel Aviv, damn it.
I would imagine your VPN provider would be having a hard time coming from there too, since you know, half the servers are probably not running. Then you probably got a ton of other people trying to do the same thing, just flooding it.
A ton of other people will be the issue, because I chose an area that I believe is under Israeli control, so it still has power.
Well, you know what?
Terrible human
God, being. God knows what happens in a war zone, right? So, I mean, it's awful. You know, and it's not, certainly not cheering that one on, but I'm disappointed because I see this as an excuse to, you know, further move that needle. So, ready to move on?
Yeah, what do we got next?
Next up, I got from Ars Technica. T-Mobile is switching users to a pricier plan and telling them it's not a price hike.
How is charging me more money not charging me more money? This will need some explaining, Lucy.
T-Mobile is moving people to newer, more expensive plans starting with the November billing cycle unless customers call the company to opt out, according to multiple reports. So what they're you know how usually once you have a cell phone plan, you're on that cell phone plan for the longest time?
Here's the expiration date for this offer has been the newest way they've been getting out of that.
Oh yeah, I kept an AT&T plan for a good decade past when they offered, you know, past when they dropped it because they didn't, you know, they didn't want to offer the unlimited data and the whatever the rate was I was getting for the longest time. In fact, every time I went in the store to do anything to the plan, the first thing, oh, well, let's put you on this new plan. Nope. I mean, they tried every time I went in there to move me to a new plan, and I always had to say, you do not have my permission to change my plan. Now, I eventually dropped AT&T and moved anyways because they don't service the area I live at all that well anymore, but that was a different problem. But they were nasty about it. They always tried to get you to move plans, because especially if you're on one of the older ones that didn't have the expiration date, because they hadn't had that problem yet. But, the forced migration surfaced on Reddit 2 days ago and was confirmed by the Mobile Report, which published portions of a leaked document indicating how the plan changes will be implemented. T-Mobile also confirmed the change to CNET, quote, telling the news site that, quote, there will be an increase of approximately $10 per line with the migration, unquote. Quote, we're always looking for ways to give our customers more from our services, so we're moving a small number who were on older rate plans to newer plans that will deliver to them enhanced features, unquote, T-Mobile told CNET. What enhanced features? What are you offering that you're not getting now on the same cell phone, the same service? You're literally just hiking the price. I mean, you know, basically, they're pissing on their legs and telling them it's raining. Or pissing on their back, whatever it is. Whatever the expression is.
And I can understand a rate hike, especially, let's say, inflation's kicked in and your cost is going up and it's an actual cost increase. So you just come out to your customers, hi, we can't offer this anymore. I'm sorry. We're either discontinuing you as a customer, because we're discontinuing your plan. We can't force you to stay with us, or we're doing a rate hike. Don't lie to your customers. That's just indicating that you're in it for the money. You're not actually doing anything for reasons other than cash. If you had a legitimate reason, you'd say it.
Yeah. The Mobile Report article said that users can contact support upon notification of the pending changes, and after listening to a pitch on why they should migrate anyways, be allowed to opt out of the migration, unquote. Consumers will be moved to plans such as Go 5G or Essentials, depending on what they have now. Users who want to keep their current plan should call T-Mobile after receiving the notification that will be sent starting on Tuesday of next week. Leaked documents show what customer service reps are being trained to tell users. Instead of saying the price is going up, reps will say, we are, quote, oh God, I mean, this is Orwellian, quote, we are not raising the price of any of our plans. We are moving you to a newer plan with more benefits at a different cost, unquote. That's the talking point customer service reps are supposed to use if a customer mentions they saw commercials about, quote, how T-Mobile won't raise the price of my plan, unquote. So that's how they're getting away around the promise they made of not changing, you know, the price, is by moving plans, but it's still effectively just raising the price. Customers will be switched to a newer plan if they're on any of the following packages offered in previous years: Simple Choice Select Choice, Magenta, Magenta 55, One Plan, and Simple Choice Business. Something a bit strange is going on with the Magenta plan. A T-Mobile document shown in the Mobile Reports article says that Magenta customers will be migrated to Go 5G, but it also says that some Simple Choice and Select Choice customers will be migrated to Magenta. T-Mobile's list of current plans includes Magenta, so it isn't clear why anyone on that plan would be automatically migrated. In 2015, then-CEO John Lurch unveiled the Uncontract, in which Simple Choice customers could keep their plans for the same price as long as you're a customer. T-Mobile currently has a price lock, but only for customers on certain plans who activated their accounts after April 28th of 2022. Customers who activated accounts before April 28th of 2022 had the Uncontract guarantee, which no longer guarantees that rates won't be raised. So they're playing games. Yeah, the whole we can update or alter the agreement at any time. Yeah, that's what they're doing. T-Mobile's price lock page says, quote, we have committed to pay your final month's recurring service charge if we were to raise prices and you choose to leave. Just let us know within 60 days, unquote. T-Mobile's current plans range from $60 to $100 a month for a single line, or $5 more if you don't enroll in the autopay discount. T-Mobile recently started, and $5 more if you don't enroll in the autopay discount.
They should give you the total and then say you get a discount if you elect for autopay.
Especially because I don't like autopay on a lot of this stuff. I know some services force it nowadays, but I mean, you know, all cell phone company and internet company, they're trying to force the autopay so that they could just reach into your account whenever they want. I don't like that. Because things that do it, you know, sometimes I have to go really audit things that are doing autopay because it feels like they take advantage of it, you know?
Well, the big problem is you forget on certain things that it's on autopay, especially like streaming services if you have a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I haven't watched this in forever. But do I think to cancel it? No, because it's on autopay. And if I was manually paying it, I'd be like, I haven't watched this in 6 months. Why am I paying for it?
Yeah, I got bit with that a couple of months ago where I had... I forget the name of it now. It was a different streaming service because I had some family visiting and they wanted to watch specific live TV. And of course, I don't have cable. Oh, I have internet, but I don't do TV service because I never watch it. So I activated that for the one, you know, and I had to activate it for a month. And, even though I canceled it, I still got billed for the second month.
So depending on what live TV they wanted, there's a few free streaming services that do live TV now.
Mm-hmm.
Did then.
I need to explore some better options for it. We'll talk afterward, but, T-Mobile recently started requiring a debit card or linked bank account to get the autopay discount, which may be concerning to users because of the company's history of data breaches and leaks. One of the leaked documents said customers will see a $5 or $10 per line monthly increases depending on which plan they have now. The document says the increase can be offset with a $5 autopay discount, but that discount has been available for years. Customers whose plans are set to change should receive notifications via email and SMS starting October 17th through a document that said, quote, timing will vary depending on the customer's billing cycle, unquote. Notifications will, quote, include a link to a landing page with plan details and the option to call care to opt out of this plan migration, unquote, the document said. It will be possible to move back to the old plan for at least a little while, even if customers don't opt out in time. A document that describes a few customer service scenarios tells reps how to respond if a user says, I just got a new bill and you changed my plan without telling me. Reps are supposed to tell customers, we recently notified you of a change in your plan, and if the plan doesn't suit your needs, I can help you with the opt-out request to keep your current plan. Ars Tech contacted T-Mobile today. We'll update if they get more details. Yeah, because after they acquired, okay, that goes on there. But, I mean, it's kind of shitty what they're doing. Because they're playing games with the whole, we moved you to a new plan, and you had to opt out of being moved. You know, that's bullshit. Because take that to its logical conclusion. You know, I was just talking about how I don't have television service, right? Well, under the logical conclusion of what T-Mobile is doing, if they're allowed to get away with that, I'm going to have to call the cable company every fucking month and opt out of being moved up to the, you know, highest tier cable package with all the movie channels. You know, you'll have to call them every fucking month and opt out of being moved up to the most expensive plans because they're going to opt you into it if you don't. That's the logical conclusion of that.
Opt out is stupid. If you have a program that's worth getting, you can tell me about it, and I'll change to it.
Well, that's the thing. It's obviously not worth getting, or it doesn't fit what you do, because you're not going for it. But you take this to its logical conclusion of companies opting you in to plan migrations whenever they decide it's convenient. The logical solution is you're going to have to constantly call these companies. Well, no, it'll be like those, be one of those services you see advertised. Oh, advertise with us. We'll call your service providers every month and opt you out of the upgrades. It's just like, it'll be somebody calling us and having a service to do that because that's what it's going to be, is companies constantly trying to opt you in to whatever they're doing, whether you want to or not. I agree. Opt-in versus opt-out is a fucking mess. It ought to be illegal. I mean, for God's sake, what's to stop companies from opting you into their service, even if you didn't want their service at all? You know, True Green shows up and starts fertilizing your lawn and gives you a bill. It's like, I didn't sign up with you guys. Oh, no, we automatically sent you up for you, and you didn't opt out of service. Here's your bill.
And I'll send you a check in the mail.
Okay, we'll destroy your credit rating when you don't pay it. So it's just, I just the logical conclusion of that is nightmarish.
And they're not being honest on why they're doing it, so you can't even try to defend their actions.
Yeah, no, they're not being honest at all. Don't do business. Oh, and that's the problem, right? Is I would say don't do business with companies that are honest with you, but then you can't do business with most companies. So
I don't know if I'm that jaded yet, but I would definitely, if I was one of the guys affected by this with T-Mobile, I'd be looking into. I just saw an advertisement for it, and I was thinking about switching over to it.
Oh, I've seen a couple different small ones advertised that have different billing cycles. Was it Mint Mobile? Is that the one?
I believe so.
Where it was usage based after the fact, not buying so many minutes up front.
Yeah, it's Mint Mobile, and it was pretty much a set price for what they call unlimited, but if you look at the fine print, it's unlimited up to this many gigs, I believe, and it was a fairly decent amount, and then you get throttled.
Yeah.
But that's the same with just about every other company.
Well, I've been lucky that I haven't had too much in the way of issues with Verizon. I did have to, you know, of course, they tried to opt everyone into the data collection early on and had to undo that. But other than that, I haven't had too many problems with them. But I know other people have had a hell of a time so I'm not recommending them. I'm just saying I've been lucky.
Well, I'm a T-Mobile customer. I haven't been affected by this article yet, but I also
recently became a customer,
and I have already bought one of their newer plans that they have listed that they're moving people to, because I wasn't offered the older plans that they're getting rid of.
Well, I was going to say, you won't find out if you're affected till Tuesday anyways. Because that's... Madman, let us know Tuesday if you start getting a message saying they're going to bump you up to a more expensive plan.
It'd be Tuesday of next month. My billing cycle's already rolled around. I've gotten my quote. I got it a couple days ago. I've got one of their newer plans, so I doubt they're going to try to move me around. They would have, I can't say they would have no justification, because I don't think they have justification with what they're doing. Because, honestly, if they can't offer the plan you're on, they should just be straight out. We're discontinuing this plan. Here are your new options with us. We hope to keep you as a customer.
Well, I mean, because, they're playing games like this, that means you just flat out can't trust them. And I would be looking for alternatives. So,
yeah, and if you're looking for an alternative, it's straight up $15 a month for a trial offer. You get 3 months, and then look at their other plans.
So, next article is from Torrent Freak. Cloudflare has enabled encrypted client hello for all customers on free plans, which includes many pirate sites. The new privacy feature makes it impossible for internet providers to track which websites the subscribers visit. As a result, it renders pirate blocking site efforts useless if both the site and the visitor have ECH enabled. So this is cool. So it's this is one of the newer protocols that was, proposed. Well, the article explains it. Here, I'll just read it. Website blocking has become the go-to anti-piracy measure for entertainment industries when tackling pirate sites on the internet. Practice has been around for well over 15 years and has gradually expanded to more than 40 countries around the world. The actual blocking is done by internet providers, often following a court order. These measures can range from simple DNS blocks to more elaborate schemes involving server name, indication, eavesdropping, or a combination of both. Thus far, the more thorough blocking efforts have worked relatively well. However, as privacy concerns grew, new interfering technologies have emerged. Encrypted DNS and SNI, for example, have made blocking efforts much harder, though not impossible. A few days ago, internet infrastructure company Cloudflare implemented widespread support for encrypted client Hello, a privacy technology that aims to render web traffic surveillance futile. This means that site blocking implemented by ISPs will be rendered useless in most, if not all, cases. ECH is a newly proposed privacy standard that's been in the making for a few years. The goal is to increase privacy for internet users, and it has already gained support from Chrome, Firefox, Edge, and other browsers. Well, yeah, if it's made it into Chrome, it's going to be in almost, because 90% of browsers out there are derived from Chrome. And if Firefox has it, then that's the other 10% of browsers. So users can enable it in the settings, which may be experimental in some cases. The main barrier to widespread adoption is that this privacy technology is a two-way street. That means that websites have to support it as well. Cloudflare has made a huge leap forward on that front by enabling it by default on all free plans, which currently serve millions of sites. Other subscribers can apply to have it enabled. Quote, Cloudflare is a big proponent of privacy for everyone and is excited about the prospects of bringing this technology to life, unquote, Cloudflare writes in its announcement. You know, I wonder about that because we've done articles a few years back about the people in charge of Cloudflare deciding who to censor. So, yeah, anyways. Encrypted client Hello is the successor to ESNI and masks the server name indication that is used to negotiate a TLS handshake. This means that whenever a user visits a website on Cloudflare that has ECH enabled, no one except the user, Cloudflare, and the website owner will be determined which website was visited. So, you know, the article goes on, but basically they're saying that this defeats ISP-level blocking, and it does. But the key point was right there, that line that said that the only people who know what you're browsing is you, the website, and Cloudflare. Cloudflare is trying to corner the market on data collection. That's why they have their free plans, is because they are collect. You know, I firmly believe that's what Cloudflare is doing, is they're collecting all those usage patterns so they can turn around and sell that data to brokers. So this is amusing because to me, what they're doing is they're not enabling a privacy feature to defeat ISP blocking. They're trying to cut out their competition on data collection on the ISP side.
So. Your data is still going to be sold. It's just only I'm selling it instead of me and Bob.
Well, you know, I would still enable ECH because that is better. And it, like, it's, you know, they were saying it does get around blocking. But it also, you know, you don't have to go through Cloudflare to enable that. If you go to a website that's got it enabled without it, then you don't necessarily have to go through Cloudflare, right? But a lot of websites do, so. And there's no getting around Cloudflare doing that when somebody's going through Cloudflare, because that's the website choosing to do that. There's not much you can do about it. So, I don't care about... Do you care about YouTube TV getting spanked for their advertising?
No.
Skipping it.
I don't subscribe to YouTube TV.
Well, let me check the recording time and see where we're at, because... we got about 10 minutes, so yeah. And everybody gets to hear the noise as I click between machines. So, we'll skip that article. Oh, RU apparently wasn't interested in it either. we'll do this one. This is from Bleeping Computer. This is just a reminder to be careful about what you install if you run WordPress sites. A new malware has been posing as a legitimate caching plugin to target WordPress sites, allowing threat actors to create administrator accounts and control the site's activity. The malware is a backdoor with a variety of functions that let it manage plugins and hide itself from active ones on the compromised websites, replace content, or redirect certain users to malicious locations. People who send phishing emails that say, oh, click this link and go fill out this form, compromised WordPress sites are how they host them, almost universally. Analysis at Defiant, the makers of the WordFence security plugin for WordPress, discovered the new malware in July while cleaning a website. Taking a closer look at the backdoor, researchers noticed that it came, quote, with a professional-looking opening comment, unquote, to disguise it as a caching tool, which typically helps to reduce server strain and improve page load times. The decision to mimic such a tool appears deliberate, ensuring it goes unnoticed during manual inspections. Also, the malicious plugin is set to execute or exclude itself from the list of active plugins as a means to evade scrutiny. The malware features the following capabilities: user creation. The function creates a user named SuperAdmin with a hard-coded password and admin-level permissions, while a second function can remove that user to wipe the trace of the infection. Well, that'd be interesting to get your hands on that password. Be interesting to see how many WordPress sites you could log into with it. Bot detection. When visitors were identified as bots, i.e. search engine crawlers, the malware would serve them different content, such as spam, causing them to index the compromised site for malicious content. As such, admins could see a sudden increase in traffic or reports from users complaining about being redirected to malicious locations. Content replacement. The malware can alter posts and page content and insert spam links or buttons. Website admins are served unmodified content to delay the realization of the compromise. Plugin control. The malware operators can remotely activate or deliberately or deactivate arbitrary WordPress plugins on the compromised site. It also clears up its traces on the database, so this activity remains hidden. The backdoor checks for specific user age and strings, allowing attackers to remotely activate various malicious functions just based on user age and string. That's interesting. Quote, taken together, these features provide attackers with everything they need to remotely control and monetize a victim's site at the expense of the site's own SEO rankings and user privacy, the researchers say in a report. At the moment, Defiant does not provide any details about the number of websites compromised with the new malware, and its researchers have yet to determine the initial access vector. Typical methods for compromising a website include stolen credentials, brute forcing passwords, or exploiting a vulnerability with existing plugin or theme. Defiant has released a detection signature for its users of the free WordFence and added a firewall tool rule to protect premium care and response users from the backdoor. Hence, website owners should use strong and unique credentials for admin accounts. Please keep their plugins up to date and remove old unused add-ons and users. So, i.e. do basic maintenance. But this one was interesting to me because it's just going through and functions they found in the malware. I mean, granted, it's WordPress, right? So once you get code running in there, you can do all this pretty much however you want. But they've got screenshots of the functions, and I just thought it was fascinating. So if you're running a website, do maintenance.
And it sucks if you put out a good-ish product, or at least one that's easy to use and you get big, it sucks that so many people just start targeting you. Because then the company has to actually proactively try to fix a problem they didn't create, simply because there are assholes in the world.
Well, yeah. Welcome to the universe.
Yeah, no. We're going to dump on... I've already forgotten the name of the company because I've been drinking.
WordPress,
because it's WordPress and they're easy to dunk on. But I want to give them a little bit of, grace on this. It's not their fault they keep getting targeted. I guess they need to up their price and, invest in fixing their shit.
Man, WordPress is open source stuff. It's free.
Yeah.
So
they're never going to get it all fixed, and that's also probably why they're so targeted.
Well, the reason they're so targeted is because they run so many websites, right? It's like, why do you write viruses for Windows? Well, that's what everybody runs, so of course that's what you target. But at the same time, WordPress is based on older web platform technology. you know, PHP and MySQL as a back end, or I guess, you know, other, you know, MariaDB or whatever, but you know, it's old school web code, PHP running, you know, with a database on the back end. And a lot of times the people who are running WordPress are not technology professionals. They're not people who really understand this stuff, because WordPress is easy. It prevents a friendly interface to running a website. And, you know, people do dumb things like using passwords that you could figure out by looking at their Facebook account, right? And it's because, you know, WordPress wasn't designed to be a serious admin tool. It was designed to be easy to use. It was designed to be user-friendly. You know, they didn't design the thing thinking that your admin was going to be on a Linux command line on the back end trying to program it with Emacs. So, you know, that's partially, and I'm not blaming them, but it is a consequence of the design choices they've made, right? It's also a consequence of them being the, you know, probably the largest CMS, you know, out there. So, but I liked the idea of them just having a user agent that triggers things in a website. I thought that was cool. So, anyways, last article, unless you had anything else on WordPress.
Yeah, we can move on.
Last article, it's from Ars Technica. Game devs express joy over long overdue retirement of Unity CEO Richello. So, you know, I don't know that we talked about Unity on Decking, because it was so everywhere when, you know, of course, then I was missing shows for traveling. But basically the CEO, well, I mean, it's not surprising considering the stock hit, the reputational damage that Unity just took for their pricing changes. Yeah, the CEO's out. He's now retiring. The gag of it, this is the same guy who was the CEO of Electronic Arts when they were voted, you know, worst company in the world twice in a row. So.
Oh, you have to work for that one. They're competing against insurance companies, and nobody likes those guys.
Insurance and cable companies, it's usually a cable company that was winning those worst companies. But, yeah, following weeks of controversial partial walkbacks and apologies surrounding a new fee-based business structure for the Unity engine, game developers and financial markets have responded overwhelmingly positive to the recent news of Unity CEO John Richello's sudden retirement. That's gotta be a kick in the dick. You say you're retiring and everyone cheers.
Oh, what would have even been better? Announces retirement and the stock price goes up.
Probably did. Oh, now I'm wondering. Unity stock. Let's see. Oh, that's only one day. Let's look at, what's this, 5 days? Yeah, I'd say it ticked up a couple of days ago. It looks like it jumped up on the 10th. When was this actually announced? His retirement, that article is from the 9th. It did jump up. I think that was a Futurama joke. yeah, okay. That departure may not be enough to restore trust for many developers who've already moved on to other engines. Quote, long, long overdue, unquote, Gloomworld developer Dylan Rogers wrote, summing up joyful reactions to Richello's departure from the game development community. Necrosoft Games' Brandon Shetfield, Demon School, was the one of the most outspoken critics of Unity's initial install fee plans, wrote on social media that he, quote, truly did not think Richello's departure would happen, unquote. The CEO's apparent ouster is, quote, the main thing Unity needed to do to start rebuilding trust, so it's a start, unquote, Shetfield continued. Sheffield wasn't alone in his surprise and optimism over the move. Indie developer Alex Rose from Super Rude Bear Resurrection said Richelio leaving was a step in the right direction that could help turn the company around. Quote, if Unity can hire a really well-trusted CEO and make serious positive moves the next few months, they might be able to undo part of the damage they've created, unquote, he wrote. So the article goes on about this, but it's all basically the same thing. It's, yeah, you know, this is starting to move in the right direction to try to recover from the brand damage, but yeah, they're not recovering from that brand damage anytime soon.
It's hard to regain something you've lost. It's always going to be in the back of somebody's mind. It's not that they're going to be forgiven. They're hoping to be forgotten eventually.
Well, I know I wouldn't be starting any new game projects in Unity right now. I probably wouldn't use Unreal Engine either, because they're also looking at their pricing models. They were trying to adjust some of their pricing because they figured out a lot of people using Unreal Engine weren't video game developers, and all of their pricing was based around selling video games. Because, like, you've got movie studios using Unreal Engine to create special effects. Like, a lot of the Star Wars shows, they were using this big projector room thing, where it's like a big round room full of projectors, and the set of the show was, you know, instead of using a green screen and a digital effect, they were just projecting the background onto this, and apparently that was helping with lighting and made it look better and everything. But they were using Unreal Engine to generate those virtual sets, and I don't know if they were paying for it or not, because there's nothing in the Unreal license that would require them to. It's one of those things where a movie studio lawyer might have had them paying a license anyways just to avoid the problem, but I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, so I would be sticking to some of the open source engines if I was starting a new project, you know, in this day and age, because I just don't know that you can trust the commercial engines not to, you know, pull a Darth Vader. Pray I don't alter the deal any further. But, you know, I mean, it's not surprising that after the brand damage and the stock hit and all that stuff that Unity took, that they would start seeing management shakeups. So, you have anything else on that, Madman, or can we do Dojo?
We can do Dojo.
Hadouken! What I have for us tonight in Digital Dojo is an interesting one. This is the Open Textbook Library. Essentially, available for free, a whole bunch of textbooks. I've worked at a college, and I've been to college. I know what textbooks cost, you know, a couple decades ago. I can only imagine what they cost now. I mean, there was a gag then where they wanted, you know, $150 for a book. They'd buy it back from you for $5 at the end of the semester. And nine times out of 10, you had to buy a book. You know, yeah, it wasn't even a book. It was a printout written by the professor that they wanted a stupid amount of money for, and they wouldn't even buy those back. And
oh, yeah, because we're changing it next semester.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, it was stupid to pay $100 to rent a book. And that's when you and I were in college, Matt Ben. My understanding is those costs have at least doubled. But it's still the same gag, you know, $200 for a book, and then you might get $15 for it at the end of the semester. So,
and you're just hoping that you're able to buy it used so that you're paying $85 and hoping to get, you know, $60 back for it if they don't discontinue it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, so what this is open textbooks. Now, honestly, this is probably not going to help anybody going to college right now, because I'm almost willing to bet nothing in here is going to be, you know, used in classes. But if you want to find textbooks, you know, and there's stuff in here about law, you know, if you want to see law books, you know, yeah, sure. Some of that stuff doesn't. Well, actually, this has got stuff in here from 2021, 2023. Rules and laws for civil actions, yeah, tort law.
It's up to date.
It's up to date.
And you can go with stuff that doesn't go out of date. Math books.
Yeah.
When was calculus invented?
Let's see, mathematics. What do we got?
Our newest form of math.
Let's go with calculus. Yeah, you said calculus. Calculus in context, 2008 edition. Yeah, there's a calculus book from 2020. This, I mean, if you just want a resource from, you know, text, I mean, this thing's awesome. So, highly recommend checking that out if you're just looking for data, you know, books. This is where you make the apocalypse hard drive, right? You just download every book onto here, onto, you know, burn it onto a hard drive or a DVD or something, so that, you know, when you're rebuilding from the ashes with your Raspberry Pi built into a OtterBox to recover the world, you've got, you know, all the knowledge you need. Because, you know, downloading Wikipedia is not going to be all that useful. Actual textbooks, that'll be useful. Especially if they've got, let's see, media, we've got medicine and social sciences, natural sciences. Yeah, so chemistry, biology, physics. That's all the stuff you would need to rebuild society right there. So if nothing else, scrape the database for your apocalypse hard drive, right?
I'd go to a print shop and print them up if we're going apocalypse planet.
Yeah, I see that. It's just, it's a lot. So, what'd you find?
I was just thinking, using the printer at work.
Wouldn't be the first time we printed out entire RPG books, would it be? Anyways, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Tech every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, Project Enigma when it's ready, which, again, I keep forgetting to work on, maybe this weekend. Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, maybe we can start doing predictive wars with video games. Oh, like the way they were trying to do predicting the Super Bowl playing Madden.
Weren't they trying that with modifications of the Rome Total War games, where they were like simulating these giant battles in the engine?
Yeah. They're usually doing that with ancient battles.
Yeah.
Look, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Label one Israel. Go at it. Oh, God, no.
Well, you know, hook it into one of the AIs to run the bots and say, okay, you're going to control this many squads for this army. You're going to control this many squads for this army. Go. Oh, man, that'd be great. I read
doing both predictive and fake news at the same time.
Oh, my God. All right, I read the closing blurb. Are we done?
We're done.
Right. Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional
zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
God hates Australia.